And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all don't talk about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville to Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so by the way, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground. Hear me when I say this. Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a big old swath of ground in our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week, y'all, in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations down around the Birmingham area. And I mean, they've got more coming. But Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, will also see all ages. Like I always say, pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see them all. So somebody gets sick at the house on a Saturday morning, what do you do? Wait till Monday? No. Look up Southern Immediate Care and head on down to the location nearest to you. And folks, here's the bottom line. This is who I use. It is. And not because they advertise. I was using them well before they ever advertised with us, and I was so pleased because every time I went in the door, it was like clean, professional, friendly. And I just finally thought, you know what? I could brag on them. And so I asked them, would you consider advertising? It turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so that became very easy. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care in every location, 7 days a week. Check them out. And if you're down there, by the way, filling out those forms and getting ready to see your doc, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right. Dipper number three. Big Rig, I'm heading into dipper number three. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to launch. So here's the deal. Birmingham Southern College. Maybe some of y'all out there are alumni or you have friends or family that went there. Birmingham Southern College. I've got nothing against BSC. Birmingham Southern. I even had a family member that attended there. My grandmother, I believe, years ago, went to Birmingham Southern. But that being said, they are a private institution. They are not state funded. And they have mismanaged their funds so badly over the last decade and a half, that they have now gotten themselves into a position where they are at risk of having to shut down the whole college. Well, this became a whole thing. You may remember this happened last year. Birmingham Southern, oh my goodness, we're about to have to shut down. What will the economic impact be to Birmingham and Jefferson County if we have to shut down? Well, what will the impact be if we have to loan you money to stay open? But we're like hundreds of millions of dollars to the economy. We should have thought of that before you mismanaged all your money. In the meantime, what they wanted to do then was borrow 40. They asked for a cash bailout from the state of $45 million, if I'm not mistaken. And they wanted 10 from the county and I believe 5 from the city of Birmingham. Y'all, they were asking for the taxpayers to please give us a whole lot of money. Please. It'll be okay. We'll take care of it. You got really bad credit. Why would we give it to you? This is like somebody walking up to you on the street and saying, yeah, I really blew all my money on gambling, but I just appreciate if you give me 10 bucks so I can get through the week. Well, hello? So all that to say, there was an outcry. There were people who wanted it to be saved. And there was some, you know, cross-pollination there in terms of Democrats and Republicans. I love State Senator Jabbo Wagner. I've known Jabbo for a few years. He and my dad and uncle grew up together. I love Jabbo Wagner, but Jabbo came in with a bill that I would not have voted for if I'd been there. And the bill was designed basically to rescue. At first, he was advocating for the bailout they asked for. That was not going to fly. So what happened was other people got on board with the idea of a state-funded, quote-unquote, loan program. And they vested the discretion to do the loan in the hands of our state treasurer. And if you don't know our state treasurer, he is about as solid a state treasurer as you could ever want. Young Boozer. Young Boozer has done an amazing job, and he has an amazing resume that gives him the capabilities to do it. Young Boozer was given the discretion under the law to decide whether or not a loan should take place under what became known as the Distressed Institutions of Higher Learning Loan Act or something like that.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
What are the specifics of why they're asking for this loan?
Well, okay, all right, great question. Let me get to the, I got the story right here. Thank you for asking that, because Young Boozer wrote a piece himself, and he's talking about what happened to make him get this way?
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Brother, are you reading my notes? So, 1819 News, Young Boozer wrote a piece about this, and I'm gonna tell you this stuff first, and then I'll back up and tell you what happened. So, first of all, they got way over their head in building new facilities they didn't have to have. From 2004 to 2010, they spent millions on upgrading facilities and doing things, a lot of landscaping, built a big old pond on the campus, things that just like, okay, neat, but hey. They also, their accounting was bad. They Pell Grants that come from the government, they miscalculated their Pell Grants to the point that suddenly they realized they had miscalculated to the tune of millions of dollars, and they were not going to get what they thought they were going to get, but it was their fault. They also had an endowment fund. Basically, it's like their savings account. They had an endowment fund of $130 million. They spent it down to almost nothing. They got downgraded. Their bond rating got downgraded to the worst possible risk status that Moody's Investor Service would give anybody for bonds. Their management instability was pretty significant. They went through 8 college presidents in 20 years. So 8 presidents, like who wants to be in charge today? Let's get a new one. And it was like who's in charge today? They also, by the way, have just recently been put on a accreditation risk list. In other words, their educational quality is not where it needs to be, and they're at risk of even losing their accreditation. They have over-leveraged their campus facilities to the tune of, like, I think they have a $17 or $20 million loan right now currently on their campus facilities. So all that to say, oh, what else? There was something else in here too. What was it? They don't have enough collateral to pledge towards any more loans. They're over-leveraged. So
I don't live in Birmingham, but I say nay.
Well, you don't live in Birmingham, but these are state tax dollars they're talking about,
yeah,
too.
Okay, yeah.
Well, so it was going to be your tax dollars regardless.
Well, I say nay. I say nay.
Nay, nay, we say right here in the studio. Well, that's what most of Alabama was saying, was nay. And so then the legislature decided to go, well, let's do this loan program. Except that they applied for a $30 million loan from the state. Everybody knew the bill was designed for them. They applied for the loan. And our treasurer, Young Boozer, turned it down. And they were shocked. They were apoplectic. Oh, my God, cats and dogs living together. What's going to happen? And so Birmingham Southern suddenly went into paroxysms. Well, all right, now you got here. Let's go ahead and talk about some of this. Now you got Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham saying, you know, it's just really necessary that legislators, they can fix this. They don't have to make it so hard to borrow money. What? Like it should be easy to borrow $30 million taxpayer dollars? What is it? Okay, first of all, he's a super lib, so that ought to tell you something. But Randall Woodfin wants the legislature to please fix this. Just go correct the bill and change it so that it's not optional anymore. Don't give the discretion to the... Basically, he said his quote was, he wants them to change the words for the treasurer to loaning the money from may to shall. How about no? And then you got John Archibald, super liberal, writes for AL.com, has come out with a piece about how Birmingham Southern braces for the worst and Alabama has some explaining to do. No, actually, we don't. I'll tell you who has explaining to do. It's Birmingham Southern. What in God's name did you do with the money? What, you had $130 million in the bank 15 years ago. What'd you do with all that? Well, guess what the legislator's up to now? I hate to tell you this. Story on 1819 News came out yesterday. New Birmingham Southern College bill removes the state treasurer as the loan administrator. So basically, if you can't get what you want, just change the rules. So they're going to keep the loan program. They're going to take it out of the hands of the treasurer. They're going to put it in the hands of the man who is in charge of the Alabama Commission for Higher Education. Well, he's not bought and sold, not at all. He would administer it, and oh, by the way, they're going to remove discretion, which means that once the loan's applied for, he's the one that signs the papers, but he has no authority to say yay or nay. It's just going to be like, oh, you want the money? Sure. And that's what's going to happen right now if they pass this legislation. So that's where we are. I just gave you a complete rundown, but Birmingham Southern College totally hosed themselves, and they want $30 million of your taxpayer dollars. And if they can't get what they want, then they'll have legislation passed in their favor. And if that legislation doesn't work, they'll come back the next year and ask it to be changed so they can get it no matter what. I'm just telling you, folks, I don't want them to close either. I don't. I've had friends that played baseball there, and it's a great campus, and it's a dynamic piece of that part of the Birmingham environment. But this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. Big Rig and I and all you ruffians out there, we should not be on the hook for paying for Birmingham Southern's mess-ups. If they want to go borrow the money from a lending institution who will loan it to them, then good luck to you. But right now they're so over-leveraged, they can't get a loan. Oh, so when you can't get a loan, what do? You go to Uncle Sugar down yonder in Montgomery, and you get your little something-something from the tax dollars because it's a big, bad BSC bailout. That's what we got. How's that?
No, they just need to do a car wash or something. That's what I think.
Oh, my gosh. Take me to a break, brother. We'll do the last break of the day, last break of the week, and we'll come back and put a lid on it with some of your text messages. Car wash. That's hilarious. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower up in here. I know I've told you, that's my favorite bump. I do believe that is my favorite bump right there, Big Rig, just so you know.
Oh, we should have let that play out more so you could jam out.
Well, I jammed as far as I could go before I felt bad about just sitting here enjoying the music and realized I had to talk. So, tell you what, drive times, you guys are heading home. Have an amazing weekend. Let me grab some text messages here and keep you guys up to date. By the way, what an amazing show, wasn't it? US, if you didn't hear it, that's a great chance for a plug. Let me just do this. Every single day, we do the show live for 3 hours, which, by the way, there's usually 2 to 3 hours of prep to get ready to do a 3-hour show live. We put a lot into getting ready for y'all. But then, at the end of the day, Big Rig takes the live show and puts it into podcast format and just puts it up on the net where you can get it on all the usual platforms. You can get it on Apple. You can get it on Podbean. You can get it on all of them. And we're over 200,000 downloads now of the podcast of the show. So check that out, because today, of course, we had my monologue at the beginning. It was called We Have a Right to Be Concerned, talking about Biden and the history beyond other issues with presidents who have been covered up. And then we had U.S. Senator Katie Britt at 2:30, who came on, did an amazing job. Then we had former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne at 3:30, who did an amazing job. And then we had Hannah Stevens talking sports at 4. I mean, what a show, man. And we got all three dippers done.
Mm-hmm. That never happens. Well, that hasn't happened since I've been here.
I don't think it's time for you to talk right now.
My favorite part, though, is Katie Britt.
She was
on point.
She was on point today. You're exactly right, man.
Hannah was too.
Yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, it's like you said earlier, or maybe I said, I forget which one of us said something about when Hannah comes in and talks sports. It's like, wow, I got nothing. I mean, that's pretty epic. Hey, let me get some text messages here real quick. Brandy from Owens Crossroads. I'm trying to say, what she's talking about. I don't think. Oh, Merrick Garland. Okay, I'm sorry. She says, I don't think that Merrick Garland left that in because it's true, although it is. I think her put it in, talking about the statements that were made. Okay, back up. The statement was made earlier that by Jay Towne that the statements about Biden in the special counsel's report about him being basically, you know, poor memory and elderly and all that kind of stuff, that those were left in there because they were true. He couldn't take them out. She says, Brandy says, I don't think Garland left that in because it was true, although it is. I think her put it in there hoping that Garland would then change the wording, thereby giving him a heads up to the condition of POTUS. Oh, that's interesting. So I don't think Garland actually read the entire report before releasing it. I'm willing to bet there was no face-to-face communication between the two in quite some time other than a quick, you're not recommending prosecution, are you? And an answer of no. You know, technically, the fact that he was a special prosecutor means there's not supposed to be direct contact. And so that's he's independent. But anyway, good thoughts, Brandy. Jay from Florence says, Phil, the big dim machine has decided it's time for Joe to go. He won't cooperate, so they're using HERS report to show him the door. I am curious about that myself, bro. In fact, I look at the fact that they put him out there for that just awful lame duck press conference last night, and I'm thinking nobody should let him do that. So either A, he was behind the scenes screaming that they're going to put him out there and he's going to say what he wants to say, and they had to, or B, they put him out there as a sacrificial lamb. Neither one's good. Molly from Huntsville. Biden may not know that his notes were classified, but he has taken classes that tell him the information and notes were classified. So that's a great point, Molly. I agree. When I got read on to the programs that I was on in the Pentagon, that's what they called it, getting read on. I had a TSSCI clearance. When I got read on, I was given clear instruction as to what my left and right limits were, what I could and could not do with information, how I could not allow what they call, you know, leakage or spillage of information from a classified to a non-classified environment. If I had an email on a classified issue, I had to send it on the SIPR, not what was called the NIPR, which is the open email. It's just, he knows that. What else we got here? Jeff from Indiana says, I don't think I would want to go to Birmingham Southern's accounting program. Apparently it's worthless. I think they should become. That's a great point. I wonder if Birmingham Southern has a degree in accounting. I bet they do. Wow. Wow. Hope none of the administration is helping co-teach that class. Patrick from Grove Oaks says, didn't UAB want to buy Birmingham Southern? I am not aware of this. I've heard the old story that Birmingham School of Law, which is an independent law school, the one I went to actually, that Birmingham School of Law has got a standing offer to be bought out by UAB. But I don't know about Birmingham Southern. Clay from Madison says, I am waiting for Biden to send his prayers and condolences to Jerry the King Lawler, the King of England. No doubt. John from Huntsville says, maybe BSC could get crowdfunding for their needs, reduce their programs, restructure, reduce staff. You know, the same things anyone or any business who would ever broke would have to do. I know, man. I was talking to somebody the other day having to do that very thing. JT Lacey Springs says, I didn't get to catch the show until Hannah came on. I disagree with her pick of the Super Bowl. I'm siding with Biden's choice. He thinks the Yankees will win, but he favors the Lakers. Have a great weekend. Oh, my gosh. You know, he probably would. Thinking a baseball team would play a basketball team for the football Super Bowl. Awesome. Way to go, JT. Tim from Mount Hebron says, these transgender mentally challenged people need to start their own league or sports to compete against each other. That way it's a level playing field. Well played, sir. And then Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, who's Taylor Swift? I agree. Did we get grades from John from Huntsville? Did he send them in? I didn't see them yet.
Yeah, I think he did.
Did he really? I don't see them. Either way, I feel certain you and I both got A triple pluses, but that Katie Britt probably still won.
Katie Britt won, according to his grades.
Oh, did he?
She got triple plus, triple A plus.
Nice. All right, listen, you guys, have an amazing weekend. We will see you Monday. Y'all take care.